Thank you so much. It is a real honor to return to this place, and I have not been disappointed, already sensing the presence of the Lord, and just sitting here on the platform and watching different ones come in. It is just such a blessing to be a Christian, such a blessing to be part of the family of God. One of the joys when we get to heaven will be that we will be able to sit down together and talk and visit, and we can visit again and again and again and again. Too much time goes by. And there's so many people here that I'd love to just sit down and visit with for a long, long time. But do you know how blessed we are to be part of the family of God? And I have so many friends in this place, and I appreciate so much the privilege to be back. Ezekiel chapter 37 for our scripture reading tonight. Ezekiel chapter 37. It's a privilege to be here, of course, with Brother Smith and Brother Spivey when he gets here, and Brother Whitaker, the Wisemans, appreciated the good music tonight. And when I got here to the campground, I was listening for something. I was listening for something, and sure enough, I was in my room and I heard it. It was not thunder, it was not an earthquake, it was the camp president. I was listening for his voice. The curtains on the window were rattling. And he was down in the basement somewhere, and we sure appreciate Brother Goodwin and a privilege to hear him again tonight. He not only sings bass, he speaks bass. And it makes me feel like I can speak in tenor and sing in tenor. If you're able, would you stand with us, please, for the reading of God's Word. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning to read at verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in camp meeting, for all of those who have behind the scenes prepared the way for us to be here tonight, and especially those who have prepared the way in prayer. And from this opening service, from the opening songs, we sense thy divine presence, and we thank you. Continue to move even upon this message. Accomplish your purpose with preacher and people, and for all that you do, we'll praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One of the things I can't stand about a church is death. You walk in and the atmosphere is stale. The songs are all sung slow. You can take a two-week vacation between the first and second verse. Never a fresh word from heaven. Never a testimony. Never a report of praise. Never a new birth. Never a new convert going on to be filled with the Spirit. The reason there are dead churches is because there are dead people, living dead people. They live physically. They love to hunt, fish, play basketball, football, love to eat, drink, love to shop, golf, and yard sale. They certainly do live physically, but they are dead spiritually. Church is a bore. Devotions are zilch. No prayer, no Bible reading, no testimony, no witness, and no joy. Never moved upon at the lost condition of others. Richard lives next to our church. He's a wealthy, wealthy man. And every once in a while, he'll slip into our services. And some time ago, he asked if I would come see him. I went to talk to him. He had a donation he wanted to make to the church, in fact. And as we sat there in the living room, he said, "You know, my family has been part of the Lutheran church here in town for many, many years. And it really doesn't matter what church it is, but his happened to be a Lutheran church." He said, "We've been part of that church for years. If it wasn't for that, I'd be down at your church." He said, "I leave my church mad most every service. I leave my church mad." That's what Richard said. He said, "It's so dry and formal." He said, "It's the same thing every single Sunday. Deadness, and it afflicts most churches in America. The songs are sung, the sermons preached, but it's all out of a book. Preachers are given books at the beginning of the year that have a sermon for each Sunday of the year. In that book are the hymns to be sung for that Sunday, and the scriptures to be read for that Sunday, and the sermon to be preached. I know that because I have some of those books. I look through them for any kind of illustrations or ideas, but I always scratch my head in amazement, Joe Smith, that there are actually many pastors across America who use these books Sunday after Sunday. They know what they're going to preach 52 Sundays of the year. God's house has become formal and mundane and in some places profane. And in our own churches, the kids would be scared if the saints would shout in so many places. Our children and grandchildren may grow up in a dead church, and it doesn't seem to bother most people. They're dying themselves. No one among us plans to die. It just happens when you no longer take nourishment. When your diet becomes junk food of worldly music and television shows and movies, and you're not eating the meat and potatoes of God's Word, and when you no longer take medicines and have checkups through camp meeting disciplines and revival meetings and prayer meetings, and when you no longer take precautions and you expose yourself to the elements of worldly associations and pastimes and shun the vitamins of spiritual songs and daily supplements of prayer and Bible study, garbage in is garbage out, and before long, spiritually, you are a shell of the man you once were, the shell of a lady you once were, just the bones of the person you used to be. Dryness is common, and this is the kind of scene the preacher found. The Lord led him to a valley filled with bones. It was a hopeless situation. The bones were representative of what once was life, but could never be again. There was no doctor or human remedy that could make these bones live. In our own church families, there may be cases of people who seem hopeless, part of the church or part of your family, but so spiritually dead that they are bones, literal dry bones. And if we would make a humble confession tonight, we would say it's been a long time since we really had faith to believe that God could do anything with those particular dead bones. That's the kind of valley the preacher is looking over, a valley full of bones. And in verse 2, they were very dry, a hopeless situation. Then God asks a hopeless question: can these bones live? Verse 3, I wonder on this night if we as God's people, on the first night of camp meeting 2016, can these bones live? What's the answer to that question? That's what I want to say when I walk into a church service where the atmosphere is stagnant and stale. That's what I want to say when I see congregations of people more interested in what's happened on Facebook, on their cell phone, than they are what the man of God has to say. Now, I am a boring preacher, and I have pastored my church for 22 years now, and so I give my people a lot of slack, and you can understand why. I give my people a lot of slack. Let's face it, we're human beings, and we work hard. We work to the bone, and the busy housewife and the man coming home from work on a Wednesday night. And personally, I'd rather my people sleep on my pews than any other church in town, so I don't holler at my people. I would prefer they don't snore. I have a fellow that sits up on the front seat and usually starts snoring, and I would prefer that Doug wouldn't snore. But if you're going to sleep, I'd rather you sleep on my pews than any other pews in town. So I understand we are human, and I've been in plenty of services that I really was just there. I was thinking about all my problems and my difficulties. I know you never have, and you'll probably tell me to go home. But I mean, after all, even tonight, I mean, I left my house at 1:30, 2 o'clock this morning. And so it's been a long, long day. And I wish, just to be honest with you, I've prayed about this message. I've been praying about this camp meeting. But I really wish I felt more spiritual than I do in this evening service. Has anybody else been there? Don't look at me that way. So I understand all of that. We are human, and this is a stress-filled age. And I have people who love God with all their heart, but they're there because they love God, and no other reason. They'd rather be home in the lazy boy from a long day of work. On the other hand, I am deeply concerned about people that I've not seen them moved upon, and I don't sit up here with a notebook keeping track of brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. But I am concerned about people that I've not seen moved upon for ages. They just never seem to carry a burden for souls. They never seem to be happy about anything. They never seem to be blessed about anything. They don't have much of a testimony. They're never moved upon. It's just like a cow to their stanchion, each Sunday morning and each Sunday night and each Wednesday night, never moved upon. And I am deeply concerned about that kind of a situation. Can these bones live? That's what I want to say when I see people who never have time to slip into the prayer room before the evening service. I don't know what it's like out in the West or the Midwest. I grew up in the East, but it was very common in our churches that before your Sunday evening service and before your revival meeting services, we had prayer rooms, one for the ladies and one for the men. And I grew up coming to church, and the first thing you heard when you walked in the vestibule, the foyer of that church, were the saints calling on God for the evening service. And I'll tell you, it's the easiest thing to let slip away. The devil's chiseling away the prayer times, those appointed times of prayer. And he doesn't want us to pray as a church. And I have pastored and been in that prayer meeting when I'm the only one there. But I refuse to let the devil steal our Sunday night before service prayer. We're just going to keep praying anyhow. I have people who never seem to notice. They've attended there all their life, never seem to notice. And I'm not jawing at my people. I have a wonderful congregation. I have one of the best churches in America, praying people. But I'm only using it as an illustration because there's likely someone like that who's come to camp meeting that you're faithful to the house of God. But you would say, oh God, I'm dry. I'm coming dry. Can these bones live? There's lots of people looking at schools and denominations and camp meetings and mission fields and local churches where the glory once fell and the power of God was evident, and they're asking questions, can these bones live? And the preacher answered just exactly how a man should answer, oh Lord God, thou knowest. And be assured on this first night of camp meeting that he knows if these dry bones can live. Psalm 139 is that psalm of David that is so convicting. I want us to pray it here on the first night. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest. He knows. Oh God, do you know? Do you know? Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written. Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A hopeless situation, a valley of dry bones, a valley of very dry bones. A hopeless question, can these bones live? Only God knows if these bones will live. God does know. And to this hopeless situation and for this hopeless question, God said, he said to the preacher, preach a sermon. A hopeless situation, a hopeless question, a hopeless sermon. Nothing's going to move in this valley. They're very dry, skeletal bones. The text may be the favorite text. The preacher may be the best preacher. But this valley is full of dead bones, dry, dead bones. But God told him what to preach. Preach hope and not despair. God says to this valley, I'm going to send the breath. God says, you read it. We read it tonight. I'm going to send the life. I'm going to put sinews and flesh and skin on these old dry bones. And you are going to live. Verse 6, you are going to know that I am the Lord. Sometimes I think it's what we need to know most. There is hope. For this valley, for the valley that you are in, for these bones, for this preacher, for this people, for this hopeless situation, for this hopeless question, for this hopeless sermon, God stands up. God is standing up and he's looking out over this valley, the valley that you are in. And he says, there's hope. On this first night of camp meeting, I want you to know there is hope. The enemy is all about putting you out that door in a hallway all by yourself and saying it will never happen. There'll never be hope. It's always going to be dry. It's always going to be death. You are different than these others. Your problem is so complex. You're always going to be out there looking in at everybody else. That's what the devil's all about, working subtraction in your life, dividing your life, trying to conquer your life. But God loves you tonight. And he's telling you on the first night of camp meeting, there's hope. I'm going to send the breath. I'm going to send the life. I'm going to put flesh and skin on those old dry bones. So the preacher started to preach. And as he started to preach, there was a noise. Verse 7, perhaps one of the most beautiful phrases in this story. There was a noise. Now I know that God moves in silence. He is as a still small voice. I do understand that. But every once in a while, I'd like to hear a little noise. We need to raise the victory shout in our churches again. We've got so bound down until we sing two little songs and then we quit in our churches. Wednesday night, two little songs and then we quit. Sunday morning, two little songs and then we quit. When was the last time you just sang a verse over? Oh, you're trying to work something up. Well, then sing it over again. We have a right to sing. We have a right to shout. and the devil's putting a lid on God's people until we're just so boring. I understand silence and the precious moving of God in a reverential way. In fact, the two specials that were sung tonight were just beautifully reverent. But there is a difference between reverent and boring. And some of our churches are plain boring. The Holiness Church was never meant to be boring. Some of you preachers preach too long. You need to divide it up into a series for about 6 months. And we need to have good music. We need to have good testimonies. We need to pray the glory down. And if something doesn't happen, we're going to have to get something to happen. There was a noise. There was a shaking. Oh, that God would shake us. I'm encouraged tonight because God is here. We sensed Him in the early part of the service. He's here. I say, oh God, come and shake us with the power of your might. There was a noise, there was a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Just checking the time as to whether this should be a series or not. Because this particular point right here could be, couldn't it? I want to just tell you plainly what every old preacher, I know that I'm a young whippersnapper, but every old preacher you ever heard told you the truth. And everything else is carnal. We will never have revival unless we can come together. Brother Joe Smith, I'm as serious as a heart attack. You know, God has been moving across our nation. In the month of January, there was a mighty revival in the state of West Virginia. I do not know the denomination. They were not holiness people. But there was a mighty moving of God. It reached the newspapers. In public schools, they were dismissing, dismissing classes in public schools because kids were under such conviction and they were dropping to their knees and praying through in the school. You've heard about the revival in North Carolina, Burlington, North Carolina. Powerful move of God, maybe in the 11th or 12th week. The preacher is not of our persuasion, but I will let you in on a little secret that humors me a little. He preaches like we're supposed to preach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he preaches like a house of fire. And the only reason I insert that is because in some places in our own movement, they're telling our young preacher boys to tone it down quite a bit and just talk to the people. And if that is your style, that's fine. God uses different. He uses boring people like me, and he uses exciting people like David Spivey, and you remember Marshall Smart, who used to, God uses all styles of personality, so I'm not knocking any one particular style, but we're getting into just a bunch of PowerPoint talks in our movement when we used to have hellfire and brimstone and shout the glory down. You follow what I'm saying? Well, it's kind of been interesting to me. And all these new methods. Well, this revival, God is using an old method. It's a tent. And the preacher is preaching a house of fire down there. And God is moving. People are getting saved. You say, I don't see how God can do that. Well, I don't either. He did not get my permission. And I was thinking about it because, I was thinking about it. I mean, dear Lord, help us. And I was thinking about it, and I thought about how God took a Roman Catholic priest, a Roman Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther, and God sent revival. And God took an Anglican priest by the name of John Wesley and sent revival. And so I really don't care where revival begins, but I sure hope he does not leave me out. But I will tell you this, and I would love to see, I thought about it, I would love to see God move in revival in our camp meetings this summer across the holiness movement. You say, preacher, why? Why is God blessing there? And maybe some of our camps, God isn't blessing quite like that right now. Why is that? Well, I sure don't know and wouldn't pretend to know. It doesn't mean that we have the wrong doctrine. It doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong in the sense of, you know, I believe God is blessed across the years. But let me just say, friends, one huge area that God cannot work over is if in your church or in your life or in your family or in this camp, there are divisions between brethren. God can't work. I'm as honest as I can be. Brother Joe Smith, if there's something between you and me, and I don't know that there is, Brother Smith. I don't even know. I'm sure we disagree on something. I mean, you're so smart. There's things I haven't even thought about yet. But we've talked about things across the years. I've been in your home. You've been in my home. As far as I know, there's nothing between us. But I will tell you this, if there is something between us that's not been solved and forgiven as brethren, amen, there's no sense to have camp meeting.
Amen. God help us.
I'm picking on Joe Smith, but I don't know the folks here. I mean, I know many of you, I know your faces, but, you know, I used to take this for granted, but I don't anymore, I'm telling you. I grew up in the church and heard the evangelists preach about carnality, and I thought, well, I used to get tickled about it as a kid. I mean, the preachers all used to really come down the line on carnality. Does anybody remember that? You know how that was in the holiness movement. I mean, they were bone scraping on carnality. But we don't hear much about it anymore, you know? But I've been around the church enough and on boards and things, and there is still a lot of carnality. And it's no wonder that God can't do what he really wants to do. It's unbelievable. Camp meeting, something like this, business meeting, and it's not the camp meeting you're thinking of, I'm sure, but it might be. The business meeting turned bad and the police had to be called. A board member in my dad's church years ago pulled back his fist to hit my dad. A lady in my wife's church growing up, my wife's parents pastored a church. She got so mad at something that happened in the church that she hauled off and slapped my mother-in-law, which, you know, I understand a little. Slapped my mother-in-law across the face. The pastor's wife slapped her across the face. And they stomped out of the parsonage and went out and stomped on the gas pedal as they started the car so bad that it flooded the engine and stalled right there in the parking lot. They couldn't pull out. So my father-in-law goes out, try to help him with their car, and she rolls down the window crying. She said, Brother Zechman, do you think that maybe I'm not sanctified? I'm just telling you, carnality is alive and well, and God cannot move over the top of it. What would happen if we'd get all of those things out of the way on the first night of camp meeting? Because we do have disagreements. We do. We have disagreements. We're hard-headed. We come from different parts of the country. We think differently. Some people are worldly. Some people are so narrow-minded a mosquito can sit on their nose and scratch both eyeballs at the same time. Some people around our churches have crazy ideas that are neither worldly or strict. They're just stupid. But we need everybody on board the ship. And if you are entertaining wrong feelings or you have said bad things, you have given the cold shoulder, or you've been storming out of board meetings, yes, it happens. We're going to have to get those things out of the way before God ever can move. Can these bones live? Oh, Lord, thou knowest if these bones can live. These bones came together. A noise, a shaking, a coming together. And when I beheld, verse 8, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. Something is happening in this dry valley of dry bones. I think the word is already spreading, and yet there is still no life. That's interesting as you read this, as we've read this story together. Lots of things are happening, but there's still no life. No matter the preaching, no matter the singing, no matter the seeking, verse 8, there was no breath in them. Nothing will happen without the breath. Verse 9, O wind, breathe upon these slain that they may live. O Holy Ghost, breathe upon us. I want our sister to come and begin to play. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. And that's my prayer on this first night of camp meeting. O Lord, thou knowest if these bones can live, but if they ever have hope of living, it's going to take thy Holy Spirit to breathe in us and through us this week. It's the greatest missing ingredient in all of our churches. It's just a greater breath of his precious Spirit. And I want you to know tonight that I come to this camp meeting saying, oh God, I want that fresh breath of thy Spirit in my life. I am more scared of that than anything. I don't want to lose that freshness, that sensitivity. I don't want to become mechanical. I don't want to be dry. Oh, breath of thy Spirit, fill me tonight. Amen. Amen. Oh, for the Holy Ghost to breathe over us. And if we want him, we will have him. As he preached, as he prophesied, as he prayed, the breath came. Verse 10, the breath came and they lived. Powerful, simple words. The breath came. They lived. If the breath comes, we live. If it stops, we die. It's that simple, that dramatic, that crucial. And they stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. We can have a wonderful time together of fellowship and good preaching and praying and singing. We can sing about onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. But without the breath of the Holy Ghost, our tunes are morbid and sour, our voices stilled, our flesh gone, a valley of bones. But when the Holy Ghost comes, that valley of bones becomes an army. Singing, gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have God's own promise, which can never fail. That's what happens when the breath comes, when the spirit falls, when the dry bones live. It's a hopeless situation, but I am God, he said. I have new breath for lost hope. Shall we stand together? Let's sing the chorus as a prayer. Sing it from the bottom of our heart today. I know you're tired, we're weary, but isn't that the desire of our heart? Come, O breath. Let's sing it. Come. Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. In thine own gentle. One more time. I appreciate you singing it from your heart. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. in thine own. It's a beautiful picture to see this camp meeting with all age groups represented. The senior saints, one brother here, I believe 98, drove here. And then to see all of these young people across this congregation is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I want you to know we're thrilled to have you here. Now, I personally couldn't care less about your noise. You have a good time. The camp president will get you in trouble, but you won't have any trouble from me, because I'm just so thrilled that you're here. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I am so thrilled to see these young people here. What a beautiful sight. Young people, these are crossroads times in your life, crucial time. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll settle some issues and purpose some things in your life this week that'll hold true until you're 98 if Jesus tarries. And you hobble in on a cane to this camp meeting and you say, I settled it in 2016. Amen. I want us to sing it one more time. I'd like all the young people, if you're 25 and under, I want you to sing it from your heart. Seriously, I want you to pray it from your heart. If you mean that, sing it. Come. That's a beautiful sound tonight. That's worth having this camp meeting. That's worth coming out to morning prayer time. That's worth finding someone on our heart to specifically pray for. That's worth praying for some of these young people to really get established. That's worth taking this camp meeting by the job. Praise God. I believe He wants to send revival. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You for Your presence tonight. We give You glory. We're expecting great things this week in each of our hearts. For all that You do for us, we'll give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You are dismissed.